I thought we still at home. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Old habits die hard, don't they? That's right. You see the top half, you know, on Sundays, don't you? That's right.
It's good to be here today. I just missed everybody. Sometimes the Lord knows how to get us, draw us closer together.
Amen. 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 I tell you what, it's been such a wonderful spirit. It's been hard to be away, and we were talking yesterday and even before yesterday, just trying to plan, and even Brandon and I were like, we've hopefully got to find a way to be here if at all possible, you know. That's for sure. But what a wonderful spirit. I'm so thankful that that we have that and that there's a desire to be here. I tell you what, does anybody have anything on their heart? I do have a message and what have you, but at the same time, there's such a good spirit and people talking and fellowshipping. I just wondered if anybody might have something on their heart they'd like to say, a word of testimony, song, anything.
Brother Jason, I'm just thankful I know the Lord and I have that peace.
Amen.
There's nothing like the peace of God.
Amen. 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 I appreciate that. He has a way of putting us at ease, doesn't he? Amen.
There is count time in different ways. Since retirement, I've counted mine by church. You've got Sunday to go to church, and one's not church. And I hear that lately, we've lost a month, and I don't know what one.
Yes. Yes.
And I can't understand it, but it just seems like it's just gone.
Yes.
But I'm so happy to be here today.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel the same way because you think back the last Sunday, the service that we were here, it was the baptism service and everything was going on and me and Brandon were talking. That feels like a long time ago. It feels like a long time. But time does slip by us pretty quick, doesn't it? Amen. Anybody else this morning? Right. Amen. Amen. You know, as long as we're plugged into his plan, what is there to fear, as the song is being sang there? What is there to fear? Amen. Amen. No, that's true. That's very true. And even saw where, as far as there had been a salt shortage, what have you, I think there was a group that went to try to go get some of that and bring some back. So a lot of work has still been going on behind the scenes, you know, try to keep things going. That's how it is. Amen.
Take a lot for granted.
Yes, we do.
When it's gone, we don't have it. We miss it.
Amen.
So thank God for every blessing, everything he supplies for us.
Amen.
His unseen hand.
He is. Amen. Amen.
Brother Jason, the Bible talks about the percent of grace, do they? It says, show thy faith by thy works. And Karen and I was sitting in the house yesterday. Looked out.
Amen.
You got Christian brothers that love your love to get out and do that. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Church family is important. Those who know it, know it. And those who maybe don't have it, don't know what they're missing. You know, and I say that lovingly. It's important. What a blessing it is to have a church family, people to take care of you and look after you and help you when you need it and think about you even when you don't know they're thinking about you. That's a blessing. Amen.
Brother Jason, I'd like to thank Brother Terry and Brother from Nathan, Sister Milburn for working to clean the parking lot up each and every time. It's something that's, you take for granted till you have to do it, or it's not till it's not done.
Yeah.
But anybody else, JW, a lot of others in the church, it works behind the scenes.
Amen. Amen. Brother Jonah's been helping too. You're right. There's several. Amen. 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 Things can change very quickly. I mean, they just really can. Just on, you think back to that last Sunday that we were here, we wouldn't have thought 2 weeks would pass that we wouldn't be back together. That didn't cross my mind. I know it's wintertime and what have you. But you know, winters have kind of been seemingly a lot lighter than they had years ago. Me and Brother Nathan were talking, it was growing up, it seemed like this was the norm. But it's kind of been different the last little bit, too. But so important not to take anything for granted. Amen. 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 Anybody else this morning? Just mind the Lord.
Ricky Jackson, I'll echo what you said about people helping during this time. We have a neighbor that really helps us at the time of the snow. So I'm grateful for that. I'll put a quick Sunday story out. I like to just get out and shovel. Getting older, but I like to get out and shovel. I talked to one of my friends and he said, so I've been outside shoveling, I'm tired and I'm worn out, my shoulder's hurting. And he said, well, when you die, at least I'm going to have him put on the tombstone. Well, he was in good shape.
Yeah. Amen. 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 I appreciate that, Brother Mike. It reminds me of a story, and sometimes you don't realize what you're saying, I guess, but I was in on an autopsy with Dr. Hall some years ago, and going through everything, and he was going through, and it's an amazing thing to see when they do what they do during an autopsy, and he looked through all the body parts, the organs and things that he was looking at, and he said, otherwise remarkable, like things look good. I said, so he was healthy. He said, well, other than being dead, you know. And I was like, okay, I got you. He had a good sense of humor like that anyway. But it was kind of interesting to see his take on it. But that kind of reminded me of that. Amen. Amen. Anybody else this morning? Yes.
Every
yes.
day. Every
yes.
night. Because when you get so sick, you can't really pray. And I thank people that pray for us when we're sick, because that helps us through hard times and through times. And I'm just thankful for God for all these many blessings, and continue to pray for us as we try to figure out what's going on. And we love everybody here. We appreciate all that you do and that everybody does for us and prays for us.
Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. There's nothing else. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. I've never preached on this before, and maybe by way more of a lesson than message, but there's a great message in it. Sometimes in studying, sometimes I feel like a message might be very simple in nature, maybe that it's not enough, not the Word of God, but enough that it would feed the congregation all that they would need. But when I see this here, the Lord led me here yesterday morning, and that's just where He left me. And what I've learned is just to trust to stay with what He gives. And I think by way of the testimonies that have been given this morning, that it will line up very well with what's been said. And thinking about the little ant. I don't know if you've ever really watched them or anything like that, or kind of looked at them so much. I thought about this, you know, when I was a kid, probably more so. As an adult, at the first sign of an ant, we usually rip out the Toro, and that we don't really get to see much after that, you know. I mean, just to be honest, but it's probably not far removed from where we are today that they'll probably start showing up in the house, usually when the time or the temperatures and what have you, the seasons change. That's usually when you see them the most. But the Bible here actually gives us an explanation, a little bit, a story behind the ant. And I thought that'd be good for us this morning to kind of consider it and kind of look at it. And now it does talk about the slothful and the sluggard. Now, you know, I don't want you to think that that's what I'm coming here to try to say that you are or anything like that. But I looked at it this way too. The Bible is written for every single one of us. But it convicts those who are guilty, right? Amen. I look at it that way. But just kind of looking at it from the perspective also, that when our routines get busted up, what do we do? When our routines get changed up and everything, I mean, are we easily removed from what we're used to doing, or do we kind of pick right back up where we left off? Thinking about these last couple of weeks, it's been hard. This is probably the most I've been in years, honestly. Kind of with the way work is now, as far as photography and everything, there's been some, but not as much as get up and you go every single day and what have you. So it's been a little bit different in that aspect, but I know many have had to still go. I know Brother Nathan, bless his heart, he's had to go every single day since we left church last time. So he's had a lot to do there. So when your routine gets broken up, what do you do? How does that change your life? You know, we just again came out of the having the baptism service and everything, I guess, was way up here is the way it felt like to me. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, my goodness, let's get back together. Miss seeing everybody, miss being around everybody and the fellowship that we have. And if you're really not careful, it's easy to lose track of that your routine is broken, especially too here at the beginning of the year. A lot of times it's high hopes, high expectations. And if you start out real good and strong, and then immediately your routine gets broken, it's kind of messes with you. Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll lose momentum. But I want to read one verse and I'll pray, and then we'll get right back into Proverbs 6. But Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25, it says, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you for the privilege to be here today. God, it's so good to see everyone. So good to be here with them, God. And I just pray that your will be done here today, that you help our hearts, help our minds. God, help us to always be focused on what you are about, what you want us to do, and not get sidetracked with things, Lord. I know life can throw us a lot of curveballs and a lot of unexpected things, God, but we just want to stay faithful to you and do the work that you've called us to do, God. And I just pray that you help us here this morning and guide me, God. Guide my thoughts and my mouth, God, and just that the context come across clearly. That it be a help to us, Lord. I believe with all my heart this is where you led me yesterday. And I just pray that it be a blessing and a help to all of us here, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we back here in Proverbs chapter 6, looking at verses 6 through 11. I don't know, probably if you have a subtitle in your Bible, probably mentions something about laziness there. And if you're not careful, that can actually come, if not on purpose, inadvertently. I know there's different kinds of people and what have you, but I believe also that our circumstances can change what we're doing, even if we have a plan that we're doing something one way, and then by circumstances things can change. If we're not careful, we can fall into bad habits. And when you look and see what is the way this is written here, this is from Solomon to his son. So I don't believe that Solomon was just being negative to his son. I don't think he was calling his son lazy or what have you, but I believe he was warning him about the dangers of becoming lazy and not being able to just get up and go and have to get up and go. And so it says here, it says, go to the ant. That's how it starts. Thought about different kind of titles this morning, but that's the title for this morning is Go to the Ant, Thou Sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And so when you look at the ant, I tried to watch some documentaries yesterday. I'll be honest, kind of got caught up in it. And some of it was good. Some of it was kind of dry and all this kind of stuff. But when you look at the little ant, that's a tiny, tiny little creature. And you don't really maybe notice it so much. And really, again, probably see it more so as a nuisance than anything. But when you put them together, it's amazing what they can accomplish. They work together, Brother Allen. It's kind of interesting. This one fella, I guess he was into science and nature and what have you. And so he had his own little ant farm and he was doing little tests with his ants just to see how they would perform and what they would do. And he had his little ant, house there, whatever you call that, ant farm, I guess you say. And he had it set up where you could actually see what it was doing. And he put some food down at the very bottom. At the very bottom of that, and you could see it through the clear glass, and he dropped in the ants there at the top, and he wanted to see how long it would take if they would actually go down to the bottom where those insects were, where the food was. Oh man, this is pretty interesting. He said it didn't take long. Then what they started doing, they started digging down into that. They started working. Now, how many of you seen a little ant hill? You seen that? Well, I was a kid. I see one, I'd swipe it. Not anymore. You know how much work it takes for that to take place? Talking about the unseen hand, I heard that mentioned. You know, a lot of the work that takes place is never seen. You see the effects of it, but you never really see the work that takes place. And when you look at the size of an ant and you see the little small tiny mound, and I know there's bigger mounds and what have you, but the little tiny mounds that we see around here are pretty small, but each one of those is a speck of dirt. And when you look at the ant, that little speck of dirt is a pretty big speck. And each one, basically, what they did is they went in, they zoomed in on it, and each ant would take one little piece and bring it back to the top and drop it, and then go back down. And it was just about the work. It was, this is what I do, this is my work, this is what I'm supposed to do. It wasn't a matter of trying to figure things out, let's get together and make a plan, all those kind of things. This is what they do. And that's what Solomon is telling his son here. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler. Now, when you look at this, I want us to think about today. That's been something that's been said a lot. I've heard a lot this week. Our topic on Thursday night at CFC was along these lines, thinking about the importance of today, not wishing our time away. I wish I could get back to here. I wish that I could move forward. If we can just get past this time, then I can this. Well, what about today? If we spend so much time wishing for a future event, are we going to neglect the things of today? I think that's what happens sometimes, and we get our eyes fixated on things in the future, and we get so focused on that if we're not careful, we're going to neglect the things of today. That's the message that I see partly given here when it's seen here, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, there's no apparent guide that's right there in front of the ants saying, hey, now you guys get together and do this. They just do it. It's like they know what to do and they just do it. They start working. Not even just independently. They start working together. They work together as a group. And they accomplish the goals that they have. And one of the things that I was looking at the importance of is the importance of appreciating what God has blessed you with and not taking anything for granted, just as what has already been said this morning, today. Sometimes we can have things that we dread that is coming that may or may not happen. Sometimes maybe we have things that we are looking forward to and maybe neglect what is actually taking place today. What are you supposed to be doing today? And what we see here that is being taught here is that the ant does what it's supposed to do. Look at Matthew 6:34. You don't have to turn there. But it says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." You see, God already has things for us. We just need to focus on what He wants us to do. I think sometimes maybe we try to create plans and do things in and of ourselves, but the reality of it is that we just need to stay faithful to Him and follow Him and follow what He'd have us to do. Focus on the responsibilities of today. And I think sometimes too, it's not even the future. Sometimes we look in the past and spend a lot of time in the past. The past is gone. You can't change that. There might be things you need to make right or what have you. Make those things right, but you can't spend your time thinking about things of the past. And thinking about again here, verse number 7, having no guide. The ant just does what he knows he's supposed to do. You know, the child of God is supposed to be that way. We just need to do what we're supposed to do. It's pretty simple. And I'm telling you, the golden nugget in the message is the message itself, just taking it for what it is. You say, "Wow, I'm not shouting or anything," or "I'm not." Just listen to it. Just listen to what it has to say. The words of wisdom of what it has to say. And what he's talking about here, having no guide, no ruler, visible. But I want to ask you this. What motivates you to do what you're doing? You think about the ant. What motivation does it have? It sees a task in front of it that needs to be done, and it simply just does it. You know, and a lot of that work, a lot of what you see that's going on down below, had it not been behind glass that you could see it, you'd never see and know all the paths and all the work that's being done. You just see a little mound out there somewhere on the ground, if you even notice it. But you see that work that's taking place from all those, and it just takes consistency. Being faithful. Verse number 8, it says, "Also provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." That's what she's supposed to do. That's what she does. Personifies the ant as a female here in the way that it's talking about it. And then also what it goes on to say, I want to ask you this too, a question is, what does your current routine produce? I want to ask you some questions. I hope it challenges you. You know, again, it's easy to get stagnant maybe, not being in church, get out of routine, and maybe fall out of some of the things that you want to be doing. But what does your current routine produce? What does it produce for you spiritually? After each day, do you feel like you're closer to the Lord or further away? Or do you even take notice, or does it even matter? Physically, do you feel like you are gaining ground physically? Are you taking care of yourself physically? And even financially, are you meeting your financial goals? What goals do you have? I think we as people are goal-oriented people, and that's an important thing for us to have, that we are supposed to be working toward things. And as we learn and grow in the Word of God, He gives us goals to meet and to make, things for us to follow and things for us to set up. And so if you have goals, guess what that means? You have responsibilities. The ant's simple responsibility: do the work together. And you know, it takes time. It takes time for these things to build up and for it to come together. But would you consider yourself being a self-starter? See what he's saying here too, having no overseer. I think back to when I was a child, when I was younger, living at home with mom and dad growing up. My motivation was not getting a whipping most part of the time. That's a good part. Maybe mom saying you need to do this, dad saying you need to do this, but maybe it's not something that entered into my mind. But as you gain and grow as the child of God, guess what? That becomes you. One day you're looking back and say, "Wow, I'm the dad now. I'm the mom now." And then you have others, Lord willing, that you will be motivated. But you think about when you move out, when you start a life of your own, are you going to be a self-starter? What are you basing that on? What are your list of things to do and your goals? What is that based on? Is it based on things that you want? Things you want to see happen? Or is it based off of things that God has given you in His Word? Have you even asked for goals? Have you even asked the Lord to say, hey, show me what you want me to do in my life? You see, that will set the path for you. That will show you how you need to be and the things that you need to do. Now you look at verse number 8. It said, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. She just works. That's what she does. That's the responsibilities that she has. Now, when you look at it this way, as being a child of God, I'm reminded of what Jesus says in John chapter number 9, verse 4. He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is still day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, that time is going to come for every single one of us. Maybe by physically not being able to do things or what have you, but what keeps you on track? What's your motivation? Do you have motivation? Are you motivated to follow what the Word of God says and to see what He has for you? Verse number 9, it says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, and wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? How long are you going to sleep? You know, sometimes people get in a slump that way, maybe again, not intentionally. There's things that happen in life that set us aside maybe and slow us down. And I tell you, if you're not careful, it will put you to sleep. Put you to sleep spiritually. And I thought about it like this. What happens when your anthill gets destroyed? Have you ever been in that situation before? You're kind of going, you're working, things are kind of seemingly taking place, and all of a sudden it's like your anthill gets knocked down. What do you do with that? What do you think the ant does? The ant doesn't know any better. Brother Bill, the ant just goes back to work. It's like, oh, wow, look, this has happened. We got more to move. We keep moving it. We keep going. You know, I believe why Solomon is giving us this simple recipe is because it's something that we need to learn from and follow. And not allow things to stop us or slow us down, even though when things get hard. I'll ask you this, is it time for you to wake up? Has being out of church for a couple of weeks, has that put you to sleep spiritually? Or are you motivated? I think we have some good motivation here this morning. But what do we do when our anthill gets knocked down? Do we keep going? Now, I'm going to close with this. This is a short message, but you look at verse number 10. It says, yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. You see, kind of, that's what happens. There's a natural progression here. That's how the sluggard acts and responds to things. Just kind of, well, I'll do this tomorrow. Tomorrow would be a good day to do this. How many of us are procrastinators? That can get us in trouble. I tell you, don't put off today. What is it? Don't put off until tomorrow what can be done today. No truer words have been said. Anything that we can do today and stay faithful in doing today, that's what we need to be focused on and to be doing. But verse number 11, as we go on, it says here, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now this is the warning. I guess this is the lesson from the parable that is given here. It's talking about the travail that's going to come. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, one that's in great pain or toiling in great pain. You know, when you and I are not prepared, when that mass event happens, that's when we start struggling the most. Now, I'll tell you this, there's things happen in life, even if you are prepared, it's going to stop us in our tracks, but being prepared spiritually is something that we should never fall asleep on. Never. Never. I thought about it like this, and I hope and I pray. I thought about the last 2 weeks. I thought about myself. I told Brandy, I said, you know what? I said, for me, nothing has changed except for getting in a car and going somewhere. But I don't say that by being like talking, bragging or anything like that, but I know the responsibility of what I have to do and have to prepare for. But how hard is it for you, the church member? You get the call, oh, we're not having church tonight. Okay, whew, good. I was getting kind of worried about that. But did that stop your preparation through the week? Did that stop any kind of routine or any kind of thing that you would do through the week to continue your prayer life, to continue your devotional time, your study time, or did you get lax on that? Or did you just continue business as usual? I don't say this again by any way of trying to get on to anybody or anything like that, but a challenge to stay faithful even in the times that are hard like this. And it goes on to say too, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, one that is, again, toiling in pain, and thy want as an armed man that puts you behind, you start struggling. What do I do now? Panic sets in. What you see here is panic is because of not being prepared. The consequence of poverty is dependence. When you don't have a plan, when you don't have things in place, you start depending on somebody or something else. And see what this is teaching us here in the Word of God, to physically be prepared, but I believe also for us to be spiritually prepared, spending our time in the Word of God always, not just when we're in our normal routine, but when that routine gets busted, that we still stay faithful and we still do that. And again, I'm going to close with this right here. Again, just being spiritually prepared, but think about this again. Proverbs 30:25. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. They just do what they're supposed to do. I think a lot of times in our life, there's a lot of things that go on that we don't have to toil over, worry about, and stress over. We just do what we know what we're supposed to do. And I believe God honors that. And He'll take care of the morrow. Like He said, we're not to worry about that. He'll take care of the morrow. We just keep doing what we're supposed to do today, because this is what we have. And making the most of every single day that we have, and not losing that time worrying about things in the future or worrying about things in the past. But I'm going to stop right there, and that's the message for today. And I wonder if anybody has anything on their heart that